I speak it to you not of mine own authority, but in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please sit. When England was fighting Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo, the English government had signs that were placed in a variety of cities to let the citizens of Great Britain know how the war was going. And one such sign was on the bell tower of Winchester Cathedral. When the sign went up that summer day in the year 1815, it was partly obscured by cloud and fog, but the people could see enough of the sign to be able to read, "England defeated, England defeated." Everyone who saw it felt defeated too, until the cloud lifted and they could see the whole sign, which read, "England defeated Napoleon." Within seconds, their sorrow was turned into joy, and defeat was swallowed up in victory. My dear friends, when Jesus died on the cross, those who believed in him, those who heard about him, felt lost and defeated. Jesus was dead, and so were their hopes dead for a better world. But in just a couple of days, their sorrow was turned into joy, and defeat was swallowed up in victory. I read recently where a fourth grade teacher planned to perform an Easter pageant for the parents of her students. Every boy and girl had a part to play. And after all the parts were given out, the last child to receive a part was Johnny. Johnny got to be the stone in front of the tomb. No special costume was required for this part. All Johnny had to do was to roll himself into a ball and pretend to be the stone. The teacher felt sorry for Johnny, since all the other children got to wear costumes. So before the final performance, she asked Johnny if he wanted another part so he could wear a costume. Johnny did not want to change. Johnny said, "It is the most important part. If the stone does not roll away, then nobody can get into the tomb and see that it is empty." I believe Johnny was a very smart little boy, because the stone had to be moved away, not so Jesus could get out. He had already risen and was out of there. The stone had to be removed for us so that we could see the tomb was empty. So we could see that death had been robbed of its power. So we could see that a new world order had begun. So we could see the truth in those words of Jesus when he said, "I am the resurrection and I am the life." At Easter, we see lilies, we see beautiful flowers, we see Easter baskets, we see colored eggs, we see Easter bunnies, we even see new outfits. Today I'm in a new alb given by parishioners here. But the main symbol, my friends, of Easter is the empty tomb. That empty tomb now in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. We have all over the years seen artistic interpretations of the resurrection, but no one but the Roman gods were there when it happened. And they reported it only to the high priests. So the only evidence we have of the resurrection is an empty tomb and many eyewitness accounts of people who saw him after his resurrection. People who were willing to go to their death to witness that he was alive, and they did indeed see him. Those, my friends, who saw him knew what they were seeing was entirely different than anything they had ever seen before. Jesus was not just a dead man who had come back again to live as he had before. He came back to a new kind of life, one that is beyond our ability to relate to, so that it is shrouded in mystery for us. And yet, my friends, it is very rare. Jesus could be seen and touched. He could eat food with his friends. He could move from one place to another effortlessly. Walls and locked doors could not keep him out, in or out. And those who saw him reported that he even looked different. Yet, when they saw him, they knew it was no one else but the Lord. His friends eventually came to know that when they saw him, his resurrection was more than God's endorsement of his good life. They knew his resurrection had something to do with them. The young man at the tomb told the women in Mark 16:1-7, as we read in the gospel today, these words: "He is going before you in Galilee. He is going before you in Galilee." His friends came to know that he was always ahead of us and was always going before us, calling all of us to follow him. Who is he, therefore? He is our good shepherd, guiding us to new life. His resurrection, my friends, was not just a personal favor to Jesus, but his resurrection is simply this: it is a preview for each and every one of us who will allow ourselves to be guided by his word and sacraments. My dear friend who died recently, who was rector of St. Paul's K Street, Father Martin, always said, "Jesus lives, and this is what puts the certainty that we too will live. Jesus lives, and because of this fact, we have a hope that we will live again." When Jesus told his friend Martha, when her brother died, Jesus said these words to Martha: "I am the resurrection and the life." And he also added words to this effect: "Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never, ever die." Because of this, my friends, St. Paul tells us today, as was read by Mike in that first lesson, "If then you are raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth." Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. Jesus overcame the power of evil and death in his resurrection. This does not mean, my friends, that evil and death no longer exist in the world. It is probably more, we have more evil and death in the world today. And because they do exist, many people discount Jesus' resurrection. Many people are always saying, "Is there a God? If there was a God, this would not happen." Because of the evil in the world, people tend to discount the resurrection of Jesus. It is true the resurrection has not removed evil and death from the face of the earth, but it tells us that evil and death will not have the last word. Evil and death will not have the last word. They are not the final outcome. They cannot ultimately defeat us if we share in the life of Christ. So today we come and we join millions of Christians throughout the world, in small churches and in large churches, to celebrate Jesus' victory and our own. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Amen.